The Fan on Demand. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to UFC Central. I am your host, Showdown Joe, for the next hour. We're going to talk mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. Special thanks to 40 Sons for that intro for the song, the official anthem of UFC Central right here on the radio station. Don't forget, you can always subscribe to iTunes or check out sportsnet.ca/590 for previous episodes and broadcasts of UFC Central Radio. Don't forget, sportsnet.ca has Showdown's Corner and all the different types of information and news regarding the world of mixed martial arts. Behind the glass, Igor Enriquez, we're back together finally, my friend. It's been a long time. It's been almost 2.5-3 months. You've been doing all those morning shifts or whatever you've been doing. I don't really care, to be honest with you. No, I was joking. Thank you. Good to have you back for setting up these guests today. The coach, Brian Calhoun, training somebody. I don't know who's on the glass there, but it's all good. Thumbs up, boys. All right, good stuff here. Lots to talk about today. It's almost like it's a welterweight edition of UFC Central Radio. If you missed my Twitter earlier yesterday, I believe it was, at Showdown Joe, I announced the fact that, hey, a big fight for Canadian Rory McDonald. He's back in the cage, and he's taking out one of the baddest men at 170 pounds, Jake Ellenberger. People always ask me, you probably heard it in this radio show on numerous occasions, people always ask me, hey, who's your favorite fighter? I know you can't be biased, or you can't, who do you like to watch? And Jake Ellenberger is always one of those guys, along with my Frankie Edgar and BJ Penn, and I'm proud for the very first time we finally have Jake Ellenberger on the radio show. Jake, what's going on, my man?
Oh, not much, man. I appreciate having me. Thank you.
No problem. With a record of 29-6, 8-2 in the UFC, currently on a 2-fight win streak, and ranked number 4 in the UFC's rankings. Do you like that ranking?
Numbers mean nothing to me, but, sure.
All right. Last time we got to see you compete was in Montreal, a victory over Nate Marquardt in Montreal, a 3-minute knockout, a guy that hasn't been stopped in that manner. I mean, Anderson Silva did get the TKO finish, but you're a guy that actually can say you knocked him out. What were your thoughts? Have you had a chance to watch that fight?
Yeah, I did. Things went well. I mean, there's a few things that we were looking for specifically with Nate. I'm a big fan of Nate Marquardt. I've been watching him fight for quite some time, at middleweight, and long before I was in the UFC. I was always a big fan of him. But, things went well. He's one of the toughest guys, in my opinion, and it looked like he's only been finished or been knocked out by Anderson Silva back in 2007. So that was a great, that was a big win for me.
He's a crafty veteran, obviously. He's got a very exceptional style, very well-rounded. And I remember before the end of the fight came about, you could start sort of hearing it from the top of the rafters. The fans began booing, not understanding the patience both of you guys are trying to exhibit in terms of looking for that strike and looking for that finish. But when you exploded, the fight came, to an end pretty quickly. What did you see in Nate's game that said, now it's time to go? Because I noticed that your own rhythm actually picked up when you saw something.
Yeah, I've been working extensively on my speed and in my boxing. And one thing I looked for with Nate was when he tends to be a little more flat-footed than a lot of guys who are powerful or come from more of a grappling background definitely tend to get flat-footed. For me, I was looking for when he was hips were square or when he was flat-footed, I was gonna explode. And one thing we've been working a lot on was combinations, just really not over-committing. And once we get inside, throwing power. So it was like with my boxing coach, when you get inside, we're throwing heat. So that was the plan all along.
Now, leading up to that fight, especially the pre-fight press conference, it was definitely, from the media perspective, a sight to behold. But the one thing many of us were talking about, sitting next to each other, we kept saying, look at Jake Ellenberger, look at Nate Marquardt. Nick Diaz is Nick Diaz. He's going to say and do what he wants. And kudos to him. No issues about that. But I noticed the look on your face was a sense of frustration. Was that something very difficult to deal with as you're prepping? You're cutting weight and you've got a bunch of stuff to do, but you can't get a word in, no one's asking you any questions sort of thing?
No, I mean, I don't think it really affected my mood at all as far as talking. But we're all kind of in that same mode. We're training, we're dieting, and really just focused on the fight. But it's just a small duty we're required to do is the media conferences and stuff, and it comes with the job.
All right, up next for you, Rory McDonald, Aries, Saturday, July 27th. What is your own scouting report on the Canadian?
Rory McDonald, yeah, Rory, he's got a, you know, he's got an extremely tough fight coming up in July. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. He's, you know, he's a very skilled guy. He's young. He's young and he's young and he's hungry. I've been in his shoes before. You know what I mean? I think there's a few things that that I may have above him, but no, great. It's a great matchup. I like I said, I've never really paid attention to names and who he beat, but you know, I know what I'm capable of, and I'm really looking forward to showing the world that I can beat anybody at 170.
What do you think is the most dangerous attribute of Rory McDonald?
Well, he's definitely not afraid to take risks. You know, and I, like I said, he's young and he's willing to take risks. And he train. I mean, I'm sure he trains extremely hard, but you know, he's definitely always prepared. And you know, he's a guy that he's been, you know, gradually getting better. You know, and I don't see one thing that really sticks out that I'm worried about, to be honest. And that's not a statement of arrogance. That's a statement of confidence. You know what I mean? I'm coming in here to finish the fight. You know what I mean? And like I told Dana at UFC 158, I can beat anybody in the world. And regardless of who you put in front of me, there was a few names that they could have put in front of me in this next fight. And I said, it doesn't matter to me. I was scheduled to fight Johnny Hendricks. You know, that didn't happen, but I'm in a position where it doesn't matter. I'm going to fight for the title, and I'm going to become the champion. So regardless of who you put in front of me, I will find a way to win.
You think a victory over Rory puts you in line for a title shot?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is whoever wins this fight will fight for the title next.
Well, if you could script a perfect fight versus Rory McDonald, I know you want to finish him. Is there a specific finish? Would it be a knockout? Would it be a ref stoppage? Would it be a submission first round? Well, what is the perfect fight for you versus Rory?
The perfect fight is the same way the fight with Nate Marquardt went. Win by knockout.
There you have it there. You're listening to Jake Ellenberger right here on UFC Central Radio, one of California's finest. Is that where you'll be doing the camp over at Rain Training Center?
That is home for me, Lake Forest, California.
Now, is Mark Munoz still upset with me with the comments I made about his weight, which in fact weren't true because he looked perfectly fine when I saw him at the post-fight press conference. People were telling me he gained so much weight, and he looked excellent if you ask me.
Oh, he did. You know, Mark's a guy who's always working, man. He's always training, and really for him, it's not overtraining. I've never met anybody that works harder than Mark Munoz. A great coach, a great guy. He's helped me out extensively, but he's been very very disciplined with his diet and training, and he looks good. And when he finally got a fight scheduled, I think they really kind of lit a fire under him. He wants to get back in there, and he told me after my fight in Montreal, he's like, you know, man, I can't wait to get back in there, because it's like practicing, and you know, you want to play. You know, put me in, coach. And Mark's a guy, man. He's an unbelievable competitor. But his weight's doing great. He's like I said, he's been training. I think he's somewhere around the 220, 225 range, and he looks good. He feels he's healthy. So that's all that matters with Mark right now.
And he's one of the nicest guys that anyone can ever meet in this sport, along with yourself and your brother, Joe, which we'll talk about momentarily. The one thing Mark and I will always talk about whenever it comes to Jake Ellenberger is the weight cut. How you make 170 pounds is beyond me. And he says, you know what, ask him yourself, Joe. He'll kind of give you a hint of what he does. So let me ask you flat out, what do you have to do to get your body down to 170 pounds? Because you only have to do it two or three times a year, but what do you have to do to get it down to 170?
You know, it's definitely a very scientific approach. You know, I keep getting better. It's funny, you think the more you do it, the easier it gets, and that's completely false. That's not true at all. There's things that you know, I can do on my side. Obviously, staying more disciplined with my diet and what I put in my body can help that. But you know, I've a longtime friend of mine, Mike Dolce, he's always been a good man for giving me advice. Because really, at the end of the day, it comes down to how you feel. You do, how you feel is going to show, and I believe how you do is going to affect is affected by the way you feel. You know, for me, I've done a lot of things the wrong way. I've learned things the hard way, and you know, cutting weight is a very important factor when it comes to the fight. So, you know, for me, I know if I'm at a certain weight number, you know, let's say 184 in training, then I'm right on point. You know what I mean? I can wake up the day of weigh-ins 6 pounds over, and that's great. Probably the best outcome I could have. I've woke up at the day of weigh-ins 13 pounds over. It's all, you know, and every, you know, all the little things matter. The small percentages matter, especially when it comes to, like I said, dieting and rest and recovery. And but no, for me, I keep trying to improve that. And you know, I think my last fight was probably the best weight cut I've had in the UFC, and it definitely showed.
At that last fight there, I got to see your brother Joe. I haven't seen him in a long time. For those that don't know, and of course, this is a national platform, give the people an understanding of Joe, your brother, and what he's gone through, and the documentary.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for starters, I have a twin brother, Joe, who's really the big reason of why I even got involved in mixed martial arts. You know, he's been a competitor. He competed in the sport of wrestling since he was about 13, and you know, we've always been competitive in basically everything in life, but somebody who's been a big influence, big support, and always, you know, always in my corner, my coach. Just somebody who's always going to tell you how it is. He's going to shoot it to you real. Anyway, Joe's been through a lot, man. He's been through a lot of adversity. I've seen it in competition with wrestling. I've seen him, you know, overcome so much. He's got a rare bone marrow disease called PNH. It's about one in every, I think, 1.5 million people are affected by it. But, you know, just by the way he handles himself and carries himself, you know, with this disorder is I mean, it's been amazing. I don't know how many people would be really, you know, have the same attitude and outlook on life as he does. And, you know, it really motivates me. He's always in my ear. You know, he's always believing in me and been a positive influence, you know, in my life. But really, just with the battles he's been through, it's been amazing. I mean, we're still actually in the process right now with this documentary we're shooting. It's called Ellenberger Nation, and it's a lot about just those battles, you know, those battles in life. But more so that my brother and I have both gone through, you know, more than just competing in sports, it's been the everyday battles, the battles in life, and more especially what my brother's been through. So, you know, we're really excited to see how this turns out. You know, we got a lot of stuff. It's been shooting about, I don't know, 6 months now. So it's been going great though. We got a lot of different things, training, different coaches, a lot of people back home, you know, back in Nebraska where we're from, and even all through California. So it should turn out very well.
Estimated time for when it'll be released?
You know, that it's hard to say right now. We got a lot of things in the works, but it's kind of hard to say. That actually we're still filming right now, so we're going to probably get quite a bit into the lead up to the fight on Fox with Rory.
All right, well, we're running out of time here, man. I want to thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure. It's the first time we've had you on the radio show. Thanks a million. I want to wish you the best of luck.
All right, Dave. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
There you have it. The juggernaut, Jake Ellenberger, taking off Rory McDonald at UFC on Fox and Sportsnet 8, Saturday, July 27th. All right, coming up after the break, we will hear from my conversation with George St. Pierre from earlier in the week. We'll also hear from Rory McDonald and maybe take some of your calls. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. As always, thanks to Hurricane, or thanks to 40 Sons. You can follow them at 40 Sons for this song here, Hurricane, which is playing in the background. And of course, you missed any previous broadcasts or episodes of UFC Central Radio, Get on iTunes. Don't be silly. Get on there, subscribe. You'll always get it to your iPhone, your computer, or whatever medium you choose to listen to. And, of course, sportsnet.ca/590. We'll also have a link for you to listen on your computer or online, whatever you like, whatever you need. Don't forget, sportsnet.ca, Showdown's Corner, giving you my thoughts and analysis on some topics that aren't available on the Showdown or on the sportsnet.ca website, because the guys over that are working on the online portion of the site are doing a fantastic job getting everyone up to speed on the latest and greatest from the world of mixed martial arts. Programming note, ladies and gentlemen, it happened during the Ultimate Fighter Live. It happened during the Ultimate Fighter 16 finale, and it's going to happen again this time here. This is not something that I decided. This is something that is brokered in terms of the deal, the broadcasting deal between the Ultimate Fighting Championship and Sportsnet and their international broadcasters. The Ultimate Fighter 17 finale goes down this Saturday. The prelims will air on Sportsnet 1. First things first, they will air on sportsnet.ca, if I'm not mistaken, in and around 5:30 p.m. Eastern, they will commence. Then at 7 p.m. Eastern to 9 p.m. Eastern, the rest of the prelims will air on Sportsnet 1. The finale, and you will see a crawl at the bottom, airs first exclusively on FX Canada. The replays will then air at 1 o'clock a.m. or 1 a.m. locally in every single market on every single Sportsnet station. Again, the finale airs on FX Canada first, then it will air at 1 o'clock a.m. on all the local stations. All right, so hopefully you guys get that. And I know many people, please spread the word, because I know what happens during the night. My Twitter blows up, people blame me, and that's understandable. I understand that, it's all good. But if we can get that message out there, it'd be greatly appreciated. Don't forget, prelims start on sportsnet.ca in and around 5:30. The rest of them from 7 to 9 on Sportsnet 1. The finale airs first on FX Canada, then replayed on the Sportsnet regional stations. All right, earlier this week, a certain UFC welterweight champion by the name of George St. Pierre showed up to Toronto to promote his new book, The Way of the Fight, which I am about three quarters of the way through as we speak. A fantastic read. I was not expecting it to be this type of book. Naturally, when an MMA book comes out, you think technique, you think about strategy. George takes us to a brand new level. He mixes not only why he fights the way he does and addresses his critics, but looks at things from a philosophical way that is just unbelievable. I mean, from the topic of dinosaurs, prehistoric dinosaurs, to Aristotle, to cockroaches, he has five people in his life that have mentored him, that he mentions in the book. His mom, Christophe Madu, he's the guy that, if you notice in that fight versus Nick Diaz, he was the bigger heavyweight guy with the glasses. That's Christophe Madu, a guy that we've known for a very long time. Super, super nice guy. George's very first sensei, or at least the guy that that put George on the road to becoming a UFC welterweight champion. John Danaher is in the book, a grappling guru. Faraz Zahabi is in the book. And of course, the one and only Rudolph Beaulieu, who's George St. Pierre's manager, one of the nicest guys you will ever meet, and a very smart, also a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He's the guy handling the majority of George's career right now. So George is in town promoting the book. Had a chance to speak with him about the book and also about the new movie role that he's taking up, Batroc the Leaper, and the upcoming Captain America, and also the Johnny Hendricks situation, the Nick Diaz situation. Here is my conversation with the UFC welterweight champion, George St. Pierre.
For those that wonder that if it's a fighting book, a technical book, because there's so many people in there that are, you know, in the fight business, it's more than that. It's philosophy. It's dinosaurs. It's cockroaches. I mean, can you explain some of that?
It's a lot of it's more than the fighting. Like I said, it's stuff that you can apply in your own life. When you negotiate a business deal, when you ask your boss for a raise, or you can ask a girl to a date. It's fighting principle that you can learn how the fear and everything around it can apply to the certain situation.
What is the final message that you want to come out of the book? Because it seems to me it's, you know, prepare for a goal, set your goals in between, and work your way to there. But what is your synopsis of the final meaning of the book?
Well, it's a little bit different. I think it will be more like there's no luck in life. Everything happens for a reason. Every little thing that you do and that happen leads up to a bigger thing, and that's the story of my life.
So you're an author now. Now you're going to be a movie star. How did all that come together?
Well, I had the opportunity to play a role in a movie, Captain America 2. So that's why I let my hair grow. Took me a month to have this. I'm not a hairy guy. It's a lot of work. And I've never been that long, by the way, before ever in my life. So yeah, they asked me to let my hair grow. I'm going to play a villain against the Captain America people, and it's going to be fun.
Are you able to grow the mustache with the curly sides there?
Well, I don't know what they're going to do with that, but they tell me to let grow my hair. So I let it grow. We'll see what they're going to do with it. They don't have much to work with. We'll see.
I believe the filming's in L.A., if I'm not mistaken.
Los Angeles, yes.
How long do you think it'll take to film the movie?
The movie, I don't know. I know my scene, I'm going to be there for like a week. So my first experience, it's going to be fun, and I'm excited.
Nervous?
No.
You've done movies before.
Yeah, I'm not nervous for this kind of thing. I'm nervous for everything that I attached to my career as a fighter. But this is more for fun. It's an experience. I want to see if I like it or not.
The one thing you talk about in the book is fear, and to accept fear. When you look at stuff like this, and you've been in the octagon so many times, and you've told me many times that those guys that aren't scared are lying or they're crazy. But
yes,
doing things outside, you got a book coming out, a movie, any fear there at all?
Yeah, I have a fear of failure. I don't want to look like an idiot and fail. But This is not my field of expertise, so even if I make some mistake, it's not as bad as in the fighting, where it's my field of expertise. People will be more forgiven with this than the fighting thing.
And you know what's going to happen, social media. People are going to say, he's an author now, he's doing a movie. Is this the end of George St. Pierre? Will he fight Johnny Hendricks? You know, what message do you have to those critics?
Yeah, I'll fight. Don't worry, I'm going nowhere. It's you know, you have to take the opportunity when it's there. It's a great opportunity that opened for me. I'm sure if Johnny Hendricks would be to my place, he would do the same. And it's the smartest thing to do right now is to do it, you know. I need to take the ride when it's there and enjoy it.
Faraz told me that, you know, there's going to be some time off, but a champion cannot take the summer off. So to me, it sounds like, you know, you're going to come back, at least start preparing in the summer for an eventual fight perhaps in the fall.
I'm already training already. I'm training all the time. When I hear Hendrik said, oh, when he's doing the movie, I'm going to be training. Well, some news for him. I'm already training now. I train three days after the fight. I was in the gym training. So
after the Diaz fight?
Yes.
What do you make of Diaz's camp right now? They're asking for a rematch, the whole weigh-in situation. What do you make of all that?
Yeah, could happen a rematch. You know, who knows? I mean, not now, because now Hendricks, I want to fight Hendricks. I don't want to fight Diaz again right now. But I'm sure if Diaz keep the spot, we're going to fight each other again. I'm not happy with my fight with Diaz. I wish I could have done better. And I know I could have done better for many reasons. And hopefully we're going to have a chance to do it again.
Sean Pearson was on the show recently, and I had conversations with Faraz and some of the guys on your team. And I've come out publicly and said, listen, we need to start enjoying George St. Pierre now, because you don't know how long it's going to last. It could be two fights away. It could be three fights away. What message do you have for those that guys like me that, you know, say, listen, it's not going to last forever?
It's not going to last forever, but I'm not at the end of it now. I'm having a good time. And like I said, it's the movie and this thing has nothing to do with the end of my career. It's a preparing and after career, but I love what I do right now. I like fighting a lot more than, I'm sure, acting. And acting, it's a skill that you need to work on. And I haven't worked on it right now, so I'm a pretty bad liar. When I try to make people believe certain things, it doesn't work. So it's going to be tough for me for acting. I'm going to have to work a lot on it.
Man, you guys are not messing around with this Twitter stuff and Facebook. Producer Igor Enriquez put it out there that I'm taking your calls, 416-870-0590, *590, and 1-888-666-0590. And bang, we've already got two calls. I haven't even teed up the phone line, so I'm loving how the social media works. But we don't have much time. We'll go to Nash in Montreal first. Nash, what's going on?
How's it going, Joe?
Good. Yourself?
Awesome. Great month for UFC in April, and a lot of cards to talk about, and just overall fight fans are getting everything they want from the UFC.
Is this my boy Nash?
It is your boy Nash.
Nash, okay, you know what? Let me flip the script on you then. Which event are you look forward to the most, my man?
No doubt, Benson Henderson, Gilbert Melendez. That is the fight. That is a super fight that people are sleeping on. I am pumped for that. It's a free card on Fox. UFC is doing a great service to its fans by showcasing two of its top athletes on a free card on TV.
also a card that's going to be airing on Sportsnet. But for those that don't know, Nash works with us whenever we are in Montreal. Let me ask you this, though, Nash. It's a unification fight. Who has the edge?
I'm still going to give it to Benson. I like Gilbert Melendez. I like his style, but I think that this is going to be Benson Henderson's coming out party. He is going to step his game up. He knows the type of competition that Melendez is bringing to him, and I really think we're going to see the best of Benson Henderson, and he's going to retain the title, and he's going to unify both belts, and we're going to see a potential long reign here. This is my prediction for the lightweight division.
All right, brother. And real quick before I get to Gregory in Winnipeg, Uriah Hall taking on Kelvin Gastelum. Can Gastelum pull off the upset?
No, Uriah Hall will strike him. Will strike him down with thunderous strikes and furious attacks. But Gastelum, if he can stuff him down and I call it Bubba McDaniels him and do basically what it did to Saman and to Bubba McDaniels, he could. But I still give Uriah Hall the edge.
A pleasure, my man. Looking forward to seeing you soon. Thanks for calling in. Let's go to Gregory in Winnipeg. Gregory, what's going on?
Hey, Sheldon, how are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
Long time no hear.
Yes, sir.
But on Twitter we conversate almost weekly and stuff. So.
Absolutely.
Yep. Psyched up with UFC 161 in the phone booth central. I called a la MTS Center right now.
Your neck of the woods.
Got my ticket and all set and ready to go. And in terms of, I saw a news story about an MMA related death in the state of Michigan.
Yep.
And I needed some more information because it was just basically vague what happened and stuff in of that nature and stuff.
Yeah, I posted a story. I was one of the first ones to break the news. It's on sportsnet.ca. The party was a Nigerian-born fighter living in Ontario. His name was Felix, and apologies to the family if I'm mispronouncing the name. I believe it's Elkokwu Nichikwu. And the youngster basically made his debut in the world of mixed martial arts. It was an amateur event, and unfortunately, it was well-matched. But the two opponents, they're both heavyweights, 265 pounds or so. Going into the third round, they were both visibly fatigued. Felix Pablo was basically mounted, and the referee did call a halt to the fight, in essence saying, to my understanding, that Felix wasn't going to be able to defend himself. Let's just call the fight. They were both stood up. The official judgment was rendered. Felix did get some assistance stepping out of the cage, but then when he sat down after the fight, I was told he was getting a little wheezy, and then they gave him some orange juice with the assumption that, maybe his blood sugar level was low. But I'm pretty sure, I've seen guys exhausted. It's probably their hearts racing. He ended up passing out. They called in the paramedics. The paramedics did come in and revive him, but made the decision that, we got to get this guy to the hospital. And I don't know exactly what happened, if he succumbed en route to the hospital or at the hospital. So unfortunately, he ended up passing away, which is very, very sad. And I guess if there's any sort of positive or bright side from what I'm calling almost like a martyrdom, is the fact that now the state of Michigan has already passed the law. They sped it up. They put it through legislation to sanction and regulate amateur mixed martial arts events. So some good did come from the unfortunate passing, but it's very, very sad. He apparently was extremely excited to make his MMA debut. And of course, he wanted to go on with his career. He was 35, but mixed martial arts is very difficult. So our thoughts and prayers and condolences do go out to his family. Obviously a tough guy, but unfortunately what happened, and it's, like I said, very unfortunate. All right, coming up after the break, we will hear from UFC welterweight phenom Rory Aries McDonald. You're listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Showdown Joe for all the latest and greatest from the world of mixed martial arts. You can visit sportsnet.ca, check out Showdown's Corner. Just scroll down, look for my ugly face, click it, and you'll see all the different stuff that I have to say from news that's not necessarily on the sportsnet.ca/MMA webpage, just some different stuff that just my random thoughts on a variety of hot topics from the world of mixed martial arts, because the news cycle in the world of MMA is unbelievable in this stage of the game, because it's just new news popping every single hour, pretty much is what it seems. Just like yesterday, the news that UFC welterweight phenom Canadian Rory Aries McDonald is taking on Jake Ellenberger, who you heard earlier on the show in our first segment. Jake Ellenberger, one of the most exciting guys in the welterweight division. But when you talk about Rory McDonald, sometimes, and it's not just me that says this, it's a lot of guys that from the mixed martial arts media, when you talk to them, guys that have been around the sport for a very long time, sometimes when you're dealing with a guy like Rory McDonald, you don't know if you're talking to the next George St. Pierre, perhaps the next Anderson Silva, could be the next Floyd Mayweather, could be the next greatest fighter to ever walk into the octagon, because he has all the potential one could imagine to be an absolute superstar. I hearken back to the very first fight he had with Carlos Condit, winning the first two rounds, and lesson learned in that third round, but you got a glimpse of what this guy is capable of, and it's an absolute honor and a pleasure every time I get to interview him, even though he'll find some way to rip me, and he might in this interview, I don't know, but he's joining us right now. Rory McDonald, how are you, sir?
I'm good, how are you?
Good. How goes the battle, my friend?
The battle of life?
The battle of anything you want to talk about.
It's going good for me.
Yeah, how's the neck and back feeling?
Pretty good. Making progress all the time.
Are you currently in rehab now, or is it good enough that you can start training hard?
A bit of both.
So what's the strategy in terms of getting ready for a guy like Jake Ellenberger? You still have to finish everything and take everything slow? Like, you're clear to fight, obviously accepting the fight. Am I correct?
Yeah, I'm clear to fight.
Now, are you back in Montreal now, or are you still out in Kelowna?
I'm in Montreal.
Now, you did end up spending some time out in Kelowna. Was that just to get a break from everything and just take some time off, be with some family and friends?
When was this?
To my understanding, you were out in Kelowna. That's what I was told.
No, you got bad information.
Okay, so were you in Montreal the whole time?
Yeah.
So you were avoiding me, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I was avoiding everyone.
Okay, so you took some time off. What are some of the lessons learned from the experience, at the fact that, you know, you were ready to take on Carlos Condit, you got injured, you had to step away? Well, what's some of the lessons learned from that experience?
There was a few things, but a big one was just to keep calm and continue with my regular training. And I think I just jumped the gun, and I was pretty I was very stressed and about the fight. I was training a little bit too intense, at the beginning of training camp. So I was just not training like I had recently tried to tell myself to train. Like, you know, it was a smarter way of training, and I was getting better results. But the caveman inside of me came out. So I need to just pull back the reins a little bit again, and, you know, just settle down and just put less emotion into it. So it was a good lesson, I guess.
So in essence, moving forward per training camp, it's more or less a step-by-step process until you actually peak. Don't try and peak too early?
Yeah, it's more about just keeping myself healthy. I mean, I'll be in great shape for the fight. It's not about that. It's more just keeping my body healthy, you know what I mean? I need to correct some posture issues and this and that. So it's just small stuff I need to fix, you know?
A lot of people were stomping me in Montreal asking me about you, saying, listen, is this guy going through too many injuries? Is he already damaging his body? I said, well, no, hold on a second. I said, mixed martial arts is already traumatizing on the body, but guys sometimes get fluke injuries. When you hear people saying that Rory McDonald is too young to be having these injuries, what do you say to them?
I don't know. It might be true. I don't know. I'm trying to be as smart as I can so I can have a long career. You know, so I think I need to, you know, keep my therapy going all year round rather than taking breaks. You know, after my last fight, I took a bit of a break from activity, and I probably shouldn't have, you know, and then when I jumped back into it and was going intense right away, boom, 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 you know, my body kind of, you know, it got damaged, so I just have to be a bit smarter all year round, you know, not just the 2 months out of the training camp. I have to be like focused all year round. So it's it's a work in progress. I'm learning all the time. I'm a young guy, but I feel like I'm gonna have a long career. I don't think I'm gonna get cut short because of injuries.
You're listening to Rory McDonald right now on UFC Central Radio. Up next for you, Rory, Jake Ellenberger, Saturday, July 27th. Give us your basic scouting report on the juggernaut.
Oh, he's very talented. I'm a fan of his, and you know, I've been very impressed with all his fights. And I've been watching his fights before both of us were not in the UFC. So it's a cool opportunity. I'm very excited and extremely motivated to be at my best for this fight. Jake is a very dangerous fighter in all areas, so I'll be prepared everywhere.
What did you make of his fight versus Nate Marquardt? I mean, I was personally impressed how he was patient and waited for the right opportunity to explode.
He showed just how dangerous he is, and he showed how his composure is coming a long way. So, he's got deadly finishing power. So you see that all the time with him. So I'll definitely be watching out for that.
I did ask him earlier on if there was a perfect fight versus, you know, Rory McDonald. He said, listen, there's a perfect fight. It was what he had versus Nate Marquardt. So if he could replicate that, he'd be happy. So when I ask you the same question, if you had a perfect fight versus a guy like Jake Ellenberger, like that we know is very explosive, a great wrestler, dangerous in all aspects, what would that be? Would you want that 15-minute war, or do you want to end this thing quick?
I never want a war. I mean, I just want to all my skills. So if I could beat someone up on the feet, wrestling and jujitsu, I'd like to show that I could beat someone up in every aspect. But the fight will go the way it goes, and I'll be ready for every area of where the fight will take place.
The one thing he mentioned, which kind of caught me off guard, was the winner of this fight should get a title shot. I know your thoughts on GSP, so I'm not even going to ask you that question. If you were to merge victorious versus Jake Ellenberger, is Carlos Condit still on the radar?
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to fight Carlos again, and I know Carlos would take that fight too. So we'll see how it all plays out. I mean, me and Carlos will definitely fight, hopefully this year, if our schedules match up that way.
Training camp, doing it all at TriStar this time around?
Yeah, just like always.
Anyone specific that are you going to bring in for this training camp, or is whoever's going to be there and whatever name's on the whiteboard, that's who you're going to rumble with?
Yeah, probably. Maybe Froz and John Donaher and some of the guys will have some ideas for me to bring in, and we'll see. I don't know. I'll just leave it up to my coaches to make those decisions. I'll just be there to be prepared by them.
Oh, you just mentioned a special name in John Danaher. So I've talked to I've met John, obviously, dozens and dozens of times, hung out with him. But obviously, Faraz, George and I have a lot of running jokes with John Danaher. So let me ask you, for the listeners out there that don't know John Danaher, give us your thoughts on the grappling guru and your thoughts of John Danaher and his sense of humor.
Well, my thoughts on him, I think he's probably the greatest jiu-jitsu instructor ever. He's extremely scientific and extremely talented at breaking down the fundamentals and what jiu-jitsu is about and how to break down somebody with techniques and rather than athletic ability. So he's a major tool for me to have in my corner. Just an amazing individual, super, extremely smart, just like one in a million kind of a person. So the fact that he kind of felt that personality kind of fell in love with jiu-jitsu is a very cool mix, in my opinion.
What about outside of the cage? Because he's an absolute mess. I love him.
Yeah, he's the dark Sith Lord of the team. He's like above Darth Vader.
You know what? I think you bang on because A, you said he's one in a million, and two, he's above Darth Vader. He is absolutely unbelievable, and I can't wait to see him. I'm going to see him in about 2 weeks' time when I head down to New Jersey and New York for Chael Sonnen versus John Bones Jones. Rory, listen, thank you very much for taking the time. I know you're always a busy guy, and I never know where you are because I thought you were in Kelowna, but you're in Montreal. But thanks again, my man.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
There you have it, Rory Aries McDonald, and I'm not going to obviously say who gave me that information, but incredible sources to say the least. But I told you guys behind the glass, Rory was going to put me in my place somewhere, and he did. So it is what it is, but it's all good. Listen, thank you very much to Rory McDonald. Special thanks to George St. Pierre earlier this week. Special thanks to Rory's opponent, the Juggernaut, Jake Ellenberger, for joining us. Don't forget, the Ultimate Fighter finale will air on FX Canada first. Prelims on Sportsnet 1 from 7 to 9 Eastern, and of course the Sportsnet.ca prelims beginning at 5:30, to my understanding. Thanks to the guys behind the glass, Igor Enriquez, and I'm going to call you the trainee until you tell me your name, but it's all good. Armstrong, thank you, brother. Appreciate it. And thanks to you, all the listeners and the callers. Thank you very much. You've been listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.